tonight. He's gracious enough to come down from Scottsboro and bless us with the word. And so I just want to introduce Pastor Whalen. It's yours, brother.
I trust that hand clap was for the Lord. Amen. It's so good to be here this evening. Amen. And thank you, Pastor Lauren. Thank you, Pastor Spencer. He may not be able to watch online as we're live. I pray that he's having an enjoyable time with his family. I know Pastor Spencer probably teaches or preaches from an iPad. I'm not that technical yet, so I'm going to use this whole podium up this evening. Amen. I never quite feel that I'm totally prepared. Of course, my wife always tells me that I over-prepare, and you can't tell them everything that you think you know on that one night. Amen. But so good to be here. Pastor Spencer sends his greetings. Amen. And we just pray blessings over them. And again, I know that Pastor Greg himself, and so good to be with my extended family from the well. Amen. So good. Good to see you new faces. Amen. We just pray and trust that God is going to bless you tonight. I'm normally a preacher. Most everybody knows me. That's just who I am. I'm a preacher. But I didn't really come in the role of preaching this evening. I want to speak to you. Amen. Normally, I try to get a table to kind of, you know, when I'm teaching or try to teach, to remind me, Waylon, you're not here to preach. You're here to teach. And one time I actually did that there at the well, and Pastor Greg told me, said, it didn't help you because I'm a preacher. That's who I am. So, my heart, I hope that tonight I'm able to stay in the vein of just being a speaker, because the subject that I want to deal with you tonight, sometimes we can feel that we're being preached at or preached to rather than hearing the heart and the love of God. And Pastor Spencer, I can't thank him enough for actually even giving me a type, not that he would ever restrict me. I mean, he wants me and you to obey the Lord, to obey the Spirit of, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom, and we flow in that, we believe in that. That's one of our core doctrines of the Spirit of God. But he did ask, and I'll be honest with you, I was so honored. I shared with him, I am the family pastor there at the Well Scottsboro, and I do a lot of family speaking when I can and when God moves and any opportunity I have. But I have been asked by pastors and preachers that know me to come and maybe preach. I've preached revivals, different things like that, as God opens the door. And there's been a lot of times that I've even asked, like on a special Sunday morning, maybe, hey, would you want me to come and share a family message to your families of your church? And they would go, no, that'll be okay. You know, just a regular message. And I'm like, church is built on families. Amen. You build strong families, you'll build strong churches. You build strong churches, you'll build strong communities. You build strong community, you'll build a strong nation. Amen. It all comes back to the family. And matter of fact, if God being my helper, we will get to Genesis. I had so many different ways I would love to go with this. I've been reading, and I want to encourage you, if you're not a reader of the Word, love it. Man, get a hunger for it. And it's not natural. It's not natural. Our flesh does not crave the things of God, but you have to cultivate. And I'm telling you, as you do it, and I don't like to use the word habit, but as it becomes habitual, I mean, man, you honestly, like, I'm not living if I'm not reading the Word. And I've been reading in the small prophets, the little prophets, the lesser, whatever you want to call them. I honestly think they're great prophets, all of them were. If you're a prophet of God, you're a great prophet. But I've been reading, and literally I thought, man, I could literally take certain portions of every one of those small prophets I've been reading and actually give you some nuggets to this evening. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, and they'll pull it up on the screen. I'm going to give you my first scripture. I'm not going to tell you what the title of the message is yet. Kind of want you, salivating a little bit. Just what is this, great mystery that you've come to share with us? And it's not really a mystery. It's the Word of God, and I'm telling you, the Word of God, and I'll use this verse later, but it's a lamp to our feet, and it's a light to our path, amen. And they may have to watch me on the mic. I don't want to get any uncomfortable with anybody. So far, is anybody uncomfortable with my voice? Okay, Brandon's giving me the thumbs up. He'll watch me. He knows. But again, I'm come as a speaker, so hopefully my voice don't inflect. Hopefully I don't break out in sweat beads and you know, all that good stuff. God is good. I feel His presence here this evening. I hope you feel the presence of God. Amen. Because it's in His presence there's fullness of joy. And I tell you what, before we go any further, could we just welcome our online viewers? Amen. Could we just go ahead and let them know that we're thankful they're watching? Come on. Amen. Let's give it up for them. Thank you again for watching online. Thank you for being faithful to watch. And we pray that as you watch this, and maybe people may go back, I hope that this will be some signposts in your life. How many's ever been driving to Florida or wherever, and you've got a destiny mapped out? We like the Smoky Mountains a little more than Florida. I love hot weather. I'm telling you, I love it. Can't get too hot, but I just love the Smokies. I love the atmosphere, the family atmosphere, and all that. But if you're driving, you're setting out for Florida, and all of a sudden you start seeing signs for Cleveland, Tennessee, and Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, you're driving in the wrong direction. And so signposts are good things. You can argue with them all day long if you want to. Like, no, I'm going to Florida. I'm telling you, I'm going to. But if you're driving north, you're going toward Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg and the Great Smoky Mountains and all those different things. And vice versa, if you're setting out for the Smoky Mountains and you find yourself, amen, all of a sudden start seeing signs for, Mobile, Alabama, Orange Beach, Alabama, or Destin, Florida, listen to me, you're going the wrong direction. And the Word of God is a signpost. And a lot of what I'm going to share with you tonight, it's just signposts. It's just godly principles that we can put in our lives that will God will use. But in Joshua 24:15, he says that you got to understand, this is an older Joshua. This is a Joshua that has fought many a battle. This is a Joshua that has rallied the troops together, so to say. And now he is speaking here in the last chapter of Joshua, the book, amen, in verse 15. And he says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord." Strange question, but relevant question for their time. But if it does seem strange or evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day. Set out a course. Map out a plan. Where are you going? Are you going to Florida? You going to the Smokies? You going out west? You're going out east? Choose for you yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river. That's kind of where I come from. I come from the other side of the mountain. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me. This is a legitimate, distinct choice. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm just going to be honest with you up front this evening. You are going to have to make a decision for you and your household, who you're going to be and what type of household you're going to have this evening. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I want to speak to you tonight on a topic of parenting by the Word. Now, I just spoke to our men not long back at a men's breakfast about disconnected fathering. And we have a major, and I will use one or two of those verses, but tonight I want to speak to you about parenting by the Word. Again, tonight's thought or message is no way aimed at trying to get you to adopt mine or somebody else's convictions. Joshua said, you choose for you. You choose for your household, but I'm going to choose for me. In other words, he said, I don't know about the little lady down the road or my neighbor across the street or the guy that's got the best garden in town or the lady that just won the Yard of the Year award. I don't know about them. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. The Lord Jehovah, Yahweh. Again, so it's not to get you to adopt my convictions. What works for my, and matter of fact, I'm not even going to give you this is what we do. And I may, you know, during the message, I may give you a little bit of this is what we've done. But I just want to give you scripture. I just want to give you scripture and let you see there is a way to parent, and parenting by the word or parenting by the book is the best way. But again, I'm here to help you. I'm here to partner with you. I'm here to partner with Pastor Spencer. I'm here to partner with the Well Family Worship Center, Fort Payne, Alabama, to encourage you and to give you some biblical insights of the most important job or function, task, assignment, chore. Have you ever thought of parenting by the word as a chore? These are just some synonyms of the word job. Function, task, assignment, chore, duty, endeavor, project. You want to kind of remember that word. I'll use that a little bit. A stint, an undertaking. One of the most important responsibilities or errands, missions, offices. You get the picture. This is the most important job you'll ever have as a person, as an individual, as a parent. Let me just read this. This is the most important job that you'll have as a parent, a grandparent, a step-parent, a caregiver, or just an adult human being. And so why do I say that? Because we quote this verse quite often, Proverbs 22:6. I think she has that on the screen, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, or she, if you don't mind me adding that, he or she will not depart from it. They won't depart from the training. How many of you ever heard the old saying, practice makes perfect? And it's almost true, and that's where we got to be careful. Almost true statements can get us sometimes. No, perfect practice makes perfect. I tell my girls when they play basketball or whatever little sport they play, or my son, practice like it's game day. And you know the whole reason for practicing or training, that's this word, train up, practice. How many's done fire drills in your home, honestly? Oh. Do you know what training's for? It's for muscle memory. Have you ever watched? I remember when my little girls, we've talked about fire drills in our home. We've talked about what you do and don't do. We talked about what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. We've talked about where you're to go, and if you ain't there, guess what? I'm going back in. And if I go back in and you're somewhere else and you wasn't there, you're in big trouble, Mr. or Mrs. But when my little girls first started trying out for basketball and were practicing, and I remember when they was doing the layup, the coach would go real slow and say, right leg up, right hand. And they awkwardly would do it, and the ball would roll off their fingertip. Now my girls in a game can literally dribble down the court and without one thought go under the goal and boom. Do they make it every time? No, they don't bat 1,000 or shoot 100 or whatever that in basketball the statistics are. But it's muscle memory. And that's why the writer of Proverbs, who, by the way, was the wisest man by God's standard, not man's standard, but and said, train up, practice up, practice with your children. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to tell you, if your children don't behave in town or at church or in a public setting, it's probably because you've not practiced with them how to do it at home. This is how we're going to act when we go to so-and-so's house. We're not going, matter of fact, I give them last little bitty, I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I do. We do those last little go-overs. Hey, girls, listen to me. You're not going to do this. We're going to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and we're not going to go for seconds unless they ask twice, so to say. You know, we'll get you safe. You're still hungry after we leave. We don't want you to act like you hadn't eaten, amen, or you've never eaten anything that good, because mama's a pretty good cook, you know. But we go over. You rehearse. 2 + 2 = 4, and you go over that with your. How many times did you go over ABCs with your child? Come on. Seriously, none of this is notes. If I don't get to my notes, that's fine. We'll just go by the Spirit. But how many of us have taught our children ABCs? A, B, C, D, E, F. Then you go back and you just keep on and you keep on. And a lot of times while you're training with them, they never get it. Then all of a sudden you're washing the dishes. Washing the dishes. Washing is Sandmount. Washing is Fort Payne. Washing the dishes. And you're there. You're washing the dishes. See, I'm going to say it two or three times because I'm practicing. I'm training. Waylon, speak the word correctly, right? Wash the dishes. And you're in there and you're washing the dishes. And all of a sudden you hear little Susie, A, B, C, D. And you're like, she got it. And you want to run and you want to call everybody. What got that child to that point? Practice, training, reiterating, not giving in, not giving up, not throwing in a towel. You're a lost cause. You're a lost hope. You'll never get it. Come on. If you say that, guess what? They probably won't ever get it. Come on. You can get it. You can do it. Multiplication tables. Everything that we do like this right here, we didn't do like that right there when we were children. We studied them. We wrote them. Matter of fact, our children, almost every one of them made hundreds in spelling. I'm telling you, because spelling, you ought to be able to make 100. You come home every day. Every day. Listen to me. When you come home, you do nothing first but write your spelling words 5 times each. If you get them correct on the practice test, guess what? You don't have to take the test again. It's practice. It's training. See, we quote this like if you train them up, they won't depart from God. No, if you train them up, they won't depart from the training that you give them. Yes, if you train them to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, guess what? That training, it becomes muscle memory. Amen. When they're not loving it, something just doesn't feel right. You watch people. You watch a basketball player. When they go up and they know they missed, they done 3 steps instead of... Refs don't have to call it. They've called it before. They know I goofed. Why? Because muscle memory told me I took too many steps. I wasn't right. I didn't stick with the training. I rushed it. I held back. All these different scenarios. Train up a child. So we're going to talk about parenting by the word. Listen to a promise given by the prophet Malachi in Malachi chapter 4 verses 1 through 6. I cannot see that clock, so I will have to watch my watch. And because I want to be respectful. I don't want to go, I love the word. And just like good worship, sometimes a worship leader can be in it, but the people's not. I can be up preaching and I can be enjoying everything I'm saying, but guess what? You may not. And guess what? I've been on your side of the bench, and I know the bench, amen, starts getting a little hard after a while. So I'm going to be very sensitive to the Spirit and sensitive. But Malachi 4, 1 through 6. For behold, the day is coming. There's coming a day. Burning like an oven. How many has a preheat setting on your oven before you put the cookies in? And guess what? If you put the cookies in too early and it hadn't reached that, your cookies may not be done the way they should. You preheat. That's really what this prophet is saying. There's a day coming and it's like a burning oven. It's on that preheating set and it's not got here yet. The heat's rising. If you got it set for 425, it's 400. It's getting there. It's getting closer. And as the heat rises, guess what? That means it's getting... And all of a sudden, the buzzer goes off. So there's a day coming, burning like the oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, so one thing you need to teach your children is to fear the name of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And another verse says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you want your children to be wise, if you want them to be knowledgeable, teach them the fear of the Lord. And you're like, well, we're not cultural. This is everything I'm going to tell you is countercultural. The culture says, you shouldn't fear anything. You shouldn't teach. Listen to me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge, I'm not talking about book smarts. I'm talking about the know-how, the knowledge of God, how God works, how God does. Listen to me, God is your designer. He's your children's designer, and He knows how they should work. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that knowledge. It should be the first thing your child learns. Ultimately, that's what that scripture says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, the beginning of them becoming aware of anything, you need to teach them. So how old is that? However old it is that your child is starting to become aware of things. Teach them the fear of the Lord. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. See, here's a blessing of fearing the Lord. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like the stall-fed calves. We have children walking around that are literally anorexic in their mental, emotional, and spiritual capacity because they've not been trained or taught the fear of the Lord. But if you fear the Lord, you will grow and be fat like a stall-fed calf. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on that day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. That verse 1. I'm going to send you that prophet Elijah. The oven's heating up until then. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. We're living in a society where we don't see, we want the school system to teach them. We want the Sunday school teacher to teach them. We want the pastor to teach them. We want everybody else to deal with them other than us. No, listen to me. We have to be their primary spiritual teacher. You should never lean on a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a Christian school or whatever. And I thank God my children go to a Christian school. But that is not where they get their primary spiritual teaching. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Literally, if we don't do what God is saying here through the prophet Malachi, He will smite the earth with a curse. And I feel that we've seen that. We've seen the absence of parenting in our communities. And just look at the news, the violence, the rage, the plundering. That is lawlessness. That is the curse. The Bible said, in the last days there will come a famine, not of bread and water. We're rich. But a famine of hearing the Word of God. Why is there a famine of hearing the Word of God? Because there's a famine of speaking the Word of God. Because you can only hear what's spoken. How can they hear except they have a preacher? Well, there you go. That ought to be the... No, you're the preacher. You're the priest. You're the prophet of your home. I didn't come to preach. Moses himself declared these words before all Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. I'm going to jump ahead of my notes and I'm going to go ahead and say this right here. Parent your child like they may be that prophet. Raise your child, whether it be son or daughter, up like they're going to be the next worship leader that turns the world upside down. They're going to be the next pastor that goes. They're going to be the next missionary. They're going to be the next prophet that declares the Word of God in this generation. Because He gave them a promise. They didn't know who it was. They kept looking for Him. Moses, their prophet, said, "The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me." Moses was a man. He was flesh. In other words, he said, he's going to have tangible flesh just like me. From your midst, from your families, from your homes, from your children, from your children's child. Who knows, right? He didn't give a timeline. He didn't say it's going to be to this certain generation. No, from your midst. I think the reason why Moses left this open through the Holy Spirit, of course, but he left it open so every parent would parent their child like you may be the promised child. Just like, why would Moses? Because his mother did him that way. When she looked at him, she said, man, you're not just any ordinary child. I'm not going to just say you're going to be, you'll be so-so, or you'll be just like your daddy. How many of those, that's what mamas do when your children are behaving. You're just like your daddy. Then when they get it right, man, you're just like me. Dads do that too. Let me fix that. Y'all women kind of looking at me hard. But literally, Moses said, no, you're not going to be an ordinary child. You're a goodly child. Something special about you. Moses' mom's prophesying over him while he's a baby. She's speaking, hey, I'm going to have to let you go at some point, but I want you to remember, you're not an Egyptian. You're a child of God. You're a child of Israel. Israeli blood flows through you. You're a promised child. You're going to be the deliverer. You're going to be the prophet. Because she knew there was going to be a deliverer. There's always been that promise. Since the beginning of Genesis, the Bible said, God gave the promise and said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And they was for years and years looking for that Messiah. They're looking for that promised child. They're looking for that child that's going to come on the scene and be the hero and bring Israel out of bondage. You read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and Joshua, and Judges, and all that. And you'll see they raise up a judge. He'll deliver them. They'll get into sin. God will send judgment. Then God will raise up another judge over and over. Parent your child like they may be the next deliverer. You ought to give the Lord a hand clap of praise on that. Parent them like you may be the next revivalist. You could be the next evangelist. Man, I feel the presence of God there. Thank you for letting me stop on that one before time. But he's going to be just like me. And he's going to be from your brethren. And him you shall hear according to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me tell you another thing you need to train your children to do. To love the voice of God. To love the voice of correction. Let me tell you like this. If you don't teach them to love the correction that you give, they will not love the correction that He gives. I tell my children all the time, listen to me. If you can't obey me who you do see, I know the Bible says if you can't love your brother whom you see, how can you say? No, I like to use it like this. If you can't obey me and honor me whom you do see, who God, I'm just temporary. I'm just kind of the middleman, amen, just getting you ready. You will never learn how to obey. And I'm going to just go this way. Even if you don't even want them to be Christians, teach them obedience. You will never not have a boss. You will never not have someone that's over you. I don't care if you work for yourself. You're still working for the person that you started the business for. There's always going to be somebody. Learn how to do it now. That's why you got to teach little Johnny. And it's cute when little Johnny back talks when he's 2 and 3 and 4. But it ain't cute when they grow up to say, remember, my little girls had to learn basketball when there's 4 and 5 and 6. Now they're 11 and 13. And it gets easier. It gets better. But when it comes to disobey, it gets worse. The rebellion gets worse. The words get worse. The arguments get more heated. Train up a child in the way he or she should go. And when they're in the game, that training will stick. Just like going through that fire, amen, checking those things and saying, this is what we're going to do. And we haven't done that in a while. And these are things you need to do refresher things on. Same way with the Word of God. You never, amen. Paul said, for me to write to you the same things, it don't bother me. For you, it's good. Peter said, I want to stir up your minds by the way of what? Remembrance. What do? Tell your children, teach it to them as they walk into town and out of town. Write it on your doorpost and on your gates. Why? Because when they go in and when they go out, they see the Word of God. And I'm not talking about having a little bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. I'm talking about living it. I'm talking about teaching it. Amen. Watch it. Let me not. They begin to cry out on the Mount Horeb when the voice of God began to speak, and they said, "No, we don't want to hear this." And God ultimately called them a stiff-necked generation. Teach your children to love the Word of God, to love the voice of God. And oftentimes it's incorrect. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to tell you, like me, usually when God speaks directly to me, and I mean, it's that Waylon. You know, it's kind of like when my mom used to go, Timothy Waylon Miller, you know, they do the full name, you know you're in big trouble, right? All your moms say, dads say, yeah. When the full name's out, it's like, oh, I've crossed the line. I've got it now. But when the Spirit of the Lord really speaks to me, listen to me, and I want you to fully understand what I'm about to say. Don't take offense to this. Don't think like, well, wow, that don't sound like a good... Usually when God really speaks to me clearly, it's always in correction. The Bible said God chastens, corrects, directs, redirects them that He loves. It's an honor to hear the voice of God and say, just like that road sign, you're going the wrong way. It's an honor. I thank God that we have road signs that tell me, on the way here, now we've got it so good that it can tell me from the very time. I told the wife to text Shelly and say, hey, tell her we'll be here at this time. Now I could have argued with it. I mean, now I can say, I need directions to 959 County Road 22, Pisgah. And you know what she says? Your home is so... I've never told her that's my home address. They know. God knows. And He chastens and He corrects. But again, teach your children to love the voice of God, to long for the voice of God. Matter of fact, I don't know if you're as crazy as I am, but when I read certain books of authors like Gary Chapman, Dr. Gary Chapman, Five Love Languages, anybody... When I read his book, I read it and I hear it in his voice because I've heard his voice. Your children oftentimes will hear God's voice as your voice. And that's why we got to do what we've got to. Kevin Lehman, Dr. Kevin Lehman writes a book, How to Have a New Kid by Friday. Listen to me. He tricked you. It's not about having a new kid by Friday. It's about changing your parenting skills by Friday. Because you change you, you'll change your child. Just like you add one snowflake to any snow, it totally changes the full day. We don't see it. It's uncomprehensible. It's just like you take one chair in or out, it totally changes the dynamics of this room. And you change your parenting skills, you'll change your children's behaviors. And that's what you got to do. You just got to ask yourself, what do I want? So we know that Jesus fulfilled these two prophecies spoken centuries apart. Listen to the Song of Solomon. Let me skip because we need to get a little deeper into this. Psalms 127, 1 through 5. This is a Song of Solomon, but it's recorded in the book of Psalms. Psalms 127. See, you literally need to become the prophet, the priest, and I'm going to use this word, the project manager of your house. You need to become the project manager. Yeah, a project manager. Listen to me. Many of us know there's a way to build a house. Every house or structure comes with some type of blueprint. I don't care if it's just a sketch on a napkin in a restaurant. You just get this concept or idea and you write it down. Every building, everything that's built has some form of a blueprint or set of instructions. Listen to Psalms 127, 1 through 5. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Every bit of this is about parenting. Watch this. Behold, children are an heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, a gift, a prize. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. How many wants to go out and fight a battle without any bullets in your gun? Any arrows in? I remember one time I went hunt. I was so excited to go. I literally left my gun at the truck and drove my four-wheeler miles up in the mountain. Guess what? It done me no good to see that prey. I tell people all the time, listen to me, I encourage you to teach your children scripture memorization. The best thing that my Sunday school teacher ever did for me is, and I don't have the keys on me because we drove my wife, but I've got a key chain that's over 30-something years old that says, just say no to drugs. And I want it in a Bible scripture memorization contest. It's one of my most prized. I've had it for years. It's got dings, knocks all over it. It's my prized possession. Scripture. Matter of fact, today, a lot of times when I'm praying, I quote more scripture in my praying than I pray. And that's some of the most powerful praying you can ever do, is quoting the Word of God back to. That's what Jehoshaphat did. Are you not the Lord? And God ultimately, he beat his enemies up before Jehoshaphat ever got there. That's the kind of stuff I like. And so he said, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. But we live in a culture, we got, I think, families, it's like 1.9 child per household now. I don't totally get that 1.9. I think the Muslims' population is like 7 or 8 per household. They're outpopulating us. 8 to 1 almost. But our culture looks at children as what's the word I'm trying to look for? Burdens rather than assets. I remember just the generation right before me, you had children out of joy and in the scriptures. Could you imagine if Jesus was here in this world that we live in right now? I don't know that he would say the verse that I'm about to quote to you like he said it in his generation. He asked a question. He said, literally, it was astounding for him to even say. In other words, he would say these things that were so absurd to get people's attention. He said, will a mother forsake her child? And probably in that, they're like, no, what? It's unthinkable. Now you may have to say, what mother in her right mind would forsake her child? Our culture has shifted, and we look at children as burdens rather than assets. Here he said, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. In other words, he's saying, you don't want to leave your home without them. Happy, verse 5, happy. That's that same word that Jesus used on the Mount when he was given the Beatitudes. Blessed, happy, hilarious are the peacekeepers. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. I remember one time first time I actually went bow hunting. I'm not a bow hunter by no means. I can shoot a target, but I'm going to tell you, it's a total different thing from shooting a target in your yard or off your housetop than watching that real live deer that can jerk quick and, you know, jump. Usually you're thinking you're shooting down, so that's how I always practice, either on the ground or I'd get climb up on my house and literally use my roof to shoot my bow off because I'm up in a tree. Well, I'm on this mountainside, and I'm right up on it, and I'm thinking the deer are going to come below me, but guess what? The deer come up above me, and I hadn't done. I've never practiced shooting up. I never thought about that scenario. So, this doe literally, in reality, it's almost like you could, we're eye to eye. She's that, I'm way up in a tree, and she's way up in the mountain, and she's like, And I'm like, man, you know, I've got her. I mean, she's literally right there. And I shoot my bow. I hit a rock that just right below her. Because my trajectory, I wasn't thinking, and I didn't know how to compensate that she's up above, so I've got to aim a little higher than what I normally would aim. I go through 4 arrows that are about $25 a piece. And I finally said, oh girl, you might as well go on. And I just sat there. I'm out of arrows. What else can I do? You know what I done? I went home and I had a quiver for 6 arrows. And I said, man, if I'd have just had that quiver. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. If you don't get the giant with the first rock, David, pick up 5 smooth stones. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. When putting something together that is complex in nature, we always should use what? An instruction manual. I texted this to my wife because the Spirit spoke this as I was driving to church this morning. We have premarital counseling for individuals thinking of going into marriage. But we rarely offer pre-child planning or counseling. It should be understood that when we get married, you're going to have children, if at all possible. And if that's the common understanding, it should only make sense that we should have some type of pre-child planning or counseling. Something else that you need to know as well in building a structure. Every blueprint stems from a vision. It's first a thought. It's a concept. We need to get a vision for our home and what you want your children to become. What literally set down, Jesus said, before a man takes out and builds a house or builds a building, he sets down and he counts the cost. He pre-plans. He pre-budgets. He thinks, how many rooms do I want? How many? You know, that's what an architect does. They ask good questions. How many rooms? How big do I want it to be? Is my lot size big enough to hold all these great things? And watch this. And I wished I could have brought a chart. But we're building structures now with small, and we're building out, and they're not lasting. A true engineer knows the higher you want to go with your structure, the wider the foundation has to be and the deeper it has to be. In other words, if you were going to do a pyramid, your foundational teaching to your children ought to be, amen, the widest part ought to be from the Word of God. All right, so it comes from a vision. Watch what Proverbs 29:18 says. For where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. The King James Version says it like this: where there is no vision, the people perish. Get a vision for your home. Get a vision for your child. Prophesy over them. Matter of fact, we even look for, because we've read the 5 love languages, we predetermine what we know what each one of our children's love language is. And we try to parent with that style. You can't parent. I've got a set of twins. I can't even parent my 2 twin girls that came out on the same day, 1 minute apart, the same way. There's different temperaments. There's different emotions. There's different makeup. And so you got to parent with these things in mind. Try to find out. There's little aptitude tests. Not aptitude. What's the word? Kind of character tests that you can do. And even as little kids, they even got them like lion and bear or whatever. And you break it down. I remember when we were in Scouts and then Trail Life, I did my boys that I was leading, those 13 young boys, and I found out what they were and what, and once I found out, I could lead them better. I could train them better. I knew that little Johnny, if I raised my voice, he shut down. Amen. But little Johnny over here or little Bill, amen, you got to raise your voice to get his attention. You find out that some are leaders, some are followers. You find out what your child is, what makes them tick, and you adjust your parenting for that. But it still has to be that pyramid, has to be that foundational. The widest part of the pyramid has to be the Word of God. There's those things we just can't relent over. But again, where there's no vision, notice the connection here. We quote that verse a lot. Where there's no vision, the people, man, we use that for revivals. Man, let's get a vision. But it's connected to verse 17. Proverbs 29:18 is what I just read. 29:17 says this. Correct, teach your son, and he will give you rest. My children, they're just driving me crazy, Pastor. My children, they're wearing me out. Correct, teach, admonish, instruct, give direction to your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Then let's quote that. Where there is no revelation, where there is no teaching, where there is no correction, where there is no vision, the people perish. They cast off restraint. That verse that we quote for revival is meant for the home, for the family, for raising little Johnny or little Susie. Just like any great architect would do, you got to ask questions. I said this, but in the planning phase, you got to have a visionary phase. How large? How many rooms? How many restrooms? What materials? What colors do I want to use? So in our parenting, we must ask good questions. What do we want to teach our children? What do we want them to learn? Who do we want them to become? We need to teach our sons to be great husbands and great fathers. We need to teach our daughters to be great wives and great mothers. This is a high calling. Paul literally took many opportunities when he wrote to Timothy and Titus and some of these other young leaders that he set as pastors over church. And he said, tell the older men to train the younger men. Tell the older women to train. And literally, he goes into detail. Teach them how to be good wives. Teach them how to honor and respect their husband. Teach them to love their children. Everything has to be taught. The whole concept of Christianity is based on one word, discipleship. Discipleship is training. Let your children become your disciples. And then you send them out. You release them just like a skilled warrior with an arrow and he pulls back his bow. Listen to me, I've never shot at a target or I've never shot at it. I've missed, but I've never shot thinking I'm going to miss. I've always shot I'm going to hit the target. I've always aimed and with purpose said, I want to hit. No, come on. Honestly. But literally, in our parenting skill, we're just like, well, maybe they'll do it. Maybe they'll get it. Maybe they'll, something will happen. No, just like any archer, any skilled rifleman, especially with bullets being as high as they are now, when you pull the trigger, you want to hit the target. When we release our children, we want to release them with confidence, with assurance. Even though I have, yes, I've missed in parenting, but it don't stop me from wanting to be. I'm not batting 1,000, but guess what? Every time I get up to bat, I want to hit the ball. I want to knock it out of the park. You do it with intentionality. You do it with purpose. You do it with vision. You do it with a set goal. And I would encourage you, today, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. And you're like, maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, you know, Johnny's already 23. We're parenting grown children now. We got a culture. We're parenting our 30-year-olds now. They're coming back home. And the whole dynamic is changing. It's never too late to start doing the right thing. I know little kids that grew up playing backyard basketball like that, and they done it all wrong, and the coach said, hey, look, just let me get a hold of, let me retrain them, let me reteach them. It's never too late. If you can learn the wrong thing, you can learn the right thing. If you can teach the wrong thing, you can teach the right thing. So we need to set them up for success. God has designed marriage and family. I wrote this and I believe this. I believe this with great conviction. God has designed marriage and family for a 100% success rate if we do it God's way. Listen, there's your way, there's my way, it's their way, and then there's God's way. God's way is always success. He did not set Adam and Eve in the garden expecting them to fail. No, he said, you rule. You have dominion. He set them up for success. He said, I've given you everything you need to live, to survive, and not just survive, but to thrive and to rule, to reign, to have dominion. I've given it to you. That's what the Scriptures teach us from Genesis all the way to Revelation. God's desire for family is 100% success. You can have it. I believe you can have it. Watch this. Proverbs 14:12. This is also repeated in Proverbs 16:25. And in your devotion time, you ought to read Proverbs 16, verses 16 through 24, which right before verse 25 of Proverbs 16. I'm reading Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way of death. Now, we quote that during altar time. We quote that trying to get people to turn around during evangelism. What's the connecting verse again? Proverbs 14:11. The house, what? The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent, or the house, that's another word for house, of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems. The way you do your house, I can't, we can only. And even God. I mean, God's not willing that any perish. But yet our will can supersede the will of God, because how many of us have willed ourselves to hell? God's not willing that any perish. For God so loved the world that He gave. And He gave and He gave and He gave and He gave and He's still giving. There's a way that seems right. That verse is linked to either having a house of wickedness or a house of righteousness. There's a way. That's what I choose for you this day. We need to teach our children to have great convictions. Why is that, preacher? Because convictions affect. Let me give you some words of affect. Dictate, order, command, determine, decide, influence, direct, control, and govern our choices. Not the other way around. Let me say it again. Convictions affect our choices. Not our choices affect our convictions. Our convictions are our compass that sets our course of life. Show me a person that has strong convictions and I'll show you a person that can make good decisions and that will not slip in the course of life. See, we're trying to teach them, and I'm going to say it like this. I want to say this very nicely. And I'm me. We're minoring on the majors. And we're majoring on the minors. We're talking about, you need to make good choices, little Johnny. You need to make better choices, Susie. No, if you give them strong convictions, those convictions will make them make the right. You can't wait. I know I'm online, and we're mostly adults here. You can't wait till you get in the backseat of the car to decide what kind of lifestyle you're going to have. Watch it, because I'm going to tell you, when you wait until you're in the mode of temptation, usually we're going to go the wrong way. All we like sheep have, that's Pastor White, all we like sheep have gone astray. But you get strong convictions, and your convictions will help you make better choices. Your choices will not give you convictions, but your convictions will help you with your choices. Psalms 119:105, and I know I've got to wind down. I will not get to Genesis chapter 1, but there's great things in Genesis chapter 1. Matter of fact, in the beginning, God created. We need to teach our children that God created the earth. God is the creator. He created them male and female. There's only two sexes. Listen to me. There's only a male. There's a female. I don't care what you want to argue. I don't care what you want to do with it. I forget how many. It blew my mind when I was doing it. I can't even remember the number, but it's way up there how many different sexes they are now. How many? Seven? I was hearing it was more than that. Yeah, 67 different. How? How can you? I mean, a Ford brakes is Ford brakes. I don't care if you tell them they're Chevrolet brakes. The Ford brake man made them to be Ford brakes. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. We need to teach, because listen to me, if you do not teach them, the culture's going to teach them. but the end thereof is destruction. Teach them. Again, let me, just in memory, right quick, hold your place there in Psalms 119. But again, Genesis 1, teach them that God created. Verse 2, that life is without form or void without the presence of God. The Bible says in verse 2 that there was darkness upon the face. Listen, you need to teach little Johnny and little Susie that there is a devil. There is an adversary. Peter said, your adversary, not my adversary, not his adversary, not her. Your adversary, the what? Devil. They use the word devil. We can use it. It's Scripture. Really, it is. It's Scripture. The devil. There is a devil. You need to teach them. There's a devil. There's right. There's wrong. There's consequences to every choice. That's what the whole book of Genesis is about. Is when Adam and Eve made poor choice, there was a consequence. And it don't seem right, but guess what? Consequences don't just affect you. I can do something that will affect my wife, my children, my grandchildren. Teach them these things. The Bible says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the faith. We need to teach them that there is a true Spirit of God, that the breath of God, the life of God is real. And then you ought to read verses 26 through 31. That's where God created them, male and female, created him, them, in the image of God. Every one of us, every one of your children, listen to me, teach your children they were created in the image of God. And they'll have self-worth. They won't become cutters. They won't become emos and all these different things that children are trying to relate with now to find some type of... Listen to me. Teach them they were created in the image of God. This is that foundation. Genesis. Just go and read and just go, how did God teach His children? And teach your children like God did. That there's consequences to decisions. But every one of us was created in the image of God. And that brings purpose. That brings hope. That brings clarity to them. Let me read this and we'll close. Again, show me a person that has strong convictions and I'll show you a person that can make good decisions and that will not slip on the course of life. Psalms 119:105. Your word. Teach them to love the word. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In that same long chapter of Psalms, verse 9, Psalms 119:9, how can a young man cleanse his way? He asked the question, how can? By taking heed according to your word. Psalms 119:11, your word, this is David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let me give you three quick scriptures that will encourage you in your parenting as none other. That you don't get tired of. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. This is now I've talked to you about parenting, now I want to talk to you. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Have clear boundaries. Don't spank little Johnny for chewing gum at the table. If you've not taught little Johnny, we don't chew gum at the table. Teach them, direct them, and then you give the correction. Be immovable. How many likes to drive across, honestly, how many likes to drive across the bridge that has no guardrails? I don't care if it's a white bridge. I'm still like, honey, do I look all right on your side? How's it look? I mean, I never feel I've drove across them. Literally, there's still bridges on some of these roads, especially DeKalb County. You know they are. I mean, and you're like, I mean, you draw up in yourself. I mean, there's plenty of room. But I like to know, man, it's like bowling, you know. I love putting them bumper guards up because I'm going to hit the pins every time. There's no chance of me getting a gutter ball. The commandments of God are the guardrails that keep us safe. How many likes to play any sport? Could you imagine football and there was no out of bounds? I mean, man, they could run, pull them out of the stadium, then run around the parking lot and then come in. Touchdown! And the crowd's going like, what in the world? How many would love to play basketball? How many, I'll be honest with you, when I play sport, don't you start changing the rules in midstream. I get frustrated. I like rules. I like instructions. I I like to know how to put things together. That's why I love the Word of God. So don't, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, listen to me, you got to be confident of this, knowing that your labor, remember, we're building a home, we're building our children, we're constructing them. We're the project manager over this job. God's the owner. They're His children. He's loaned them to us. We're just project managing them, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:13-15, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Notice the connector verse. I urge you, brethren, you know what? The household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry. The whole house had. The whole house had become ministers. Not mom, not just dad, but now the whole house of Stephanas, every one of them. I don't know, they might have had 14 children. But the whole house became ministers. Galatians 6:9-10, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What's the connector verse again? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the, what? Household of faith. If God wants me to treat those in the household of faith, guess what? He wants me to treat those in my house, because my house is my first household of faith. It ought to be. Amen. One more verse. I said two. I'm going to give you three. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, we're going to say in them, he who has begun a good work in your child will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Last thing you need to teach your children, never, ever, ever give up on yourself. I'm not giving up on you, and you're not giving up on you. Because what God has started in you, because we have a lot of children that confess something at 8 years old, had a burning, and then friends and not right convictions that caused them to start making wrong choices. But you get, listen to me, don't you ever give up on them. You get persuaded like Paul was. I am confident, I am persuaded that he who has begun a good work. How many times do we look at ourselves in the mirror and we realize I'm not everything that I need to be? You can't grow weary in well-doing. Father, I thank you so much that you have loved us enough that you did. A lot of people teach, there's a doctrine, there's a philosophy in the world that literally God just wound the earth up like a top and just set it and said, do with it what you can. But God, you're an on-hand God. You're not a God afar off, but you're a very present help in the time of need. And Father, we need you to help us to parent our children well. And God, your word says if any man or any woman lacks wisdom, let him or her, don't go to your neighbor, don't go to the psychology books, thank God for education, but let him or let her ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraids not. Father, it's your desire to give us the wisdom as parents, as pastoral staff, as shepherds, as prophets and priests, and as project managers, the wisdom to do what's right and to raise our children in a way that would bring honor and glory. And God, when we do pull them back and we release them as a warrior, they'll hit the mark. I ask this in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you would go with us, that we would not leave here wounded or thinking less of ourselves, but God, we would leave encouraged, knowing that there's hope in the Word of God, that my parenting skill is not hopeless and my child is not hopeless. The enemy is a liar. He's a thief. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But you come that we could have life and have it more abundantly. God, the abundant life is parenting by the Word of God. Let it be our compass. Let it be our map. Let it be our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You want me to just go ahead and give the blessing? Amen. If you stand to your feet. Amen. Again, if Pastor Spencer's watching, I appreciate, I honor him for allowing me to come, and such a great topic. Again, could have went so many different ways, but I feel like went the way the Lord would have me. But may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And may He grace you in this season. Maybe you're here and you want to change directions in what you've been doing. I pray that the grace of God and the favor of God would be upon you. Now may the Lord cause His countenance to shine upon you and give you peace, peace. Nothing lost, nothing taken. And may He drive out all chaos out of your life. I speak peace over you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap? Amen.